Thank you for tuning in to the LeavingInTheRing.com network. You're entering the full court press with R. Dot and Fresh, sponsored by SportsAndGiggles.com and Made Apparel. What up, Fresh? How you doing, man?
What up, R. Dot? I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Man, what an exciting weekend of sports.
A lot of stuff went on Super Bowl weekend, and I was in the midst of all of it.
We had OKC versus Golden State on Saturday. Then turn around, have Super Bowl 50. What you think about the Super Bowl, man?
I think it was a sloppy Super Bowl. A lot of penalties on the Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers left their game. They left a lot of opportunities on the field, man. They made some, dropped some passes, some false starts. Not even so much the fumbles by Cam, man. You know, you look at that at the end, it's magnified. But if you look at the totality of the game, man. Kotry, that one ball over the middle early before the sack fumble touchdown was a catch. That was a catch. That changed everything.
Yeah, I thought it was a catch too, man. We both got burned on that game.
Man, terribly. And I think that point right there, that sack fumble to Cam, it was like he got hit in the mouth, man, and he didn't respond well to it. Because he was like, wow, dude was fast, and he stripped the ball from me, and they scored a touchdown, and I'm down 10-0. Wow, this ain't supposed to be happening.
Right.
He just started unraveling so fast, man, and he got, I think he hyperventilated, man, and he didn't play his game. Some of his passes was high, but he did make some good passes, and they didn't execute.
He got nervous, huh?
I mean, that was a huge stage, man. He acted like he was calm, cool, and collected, but we didn't see the same Cam. He wasn't an energetic Cam jumping up before the game, you know what I mean? You didn't see that.
First thing I noticed was their tempo. Their tempo was all bad from the start. I was like, why are these guys going so slow?
You got to give credit to the Denver defense, man. Wade Phillips, who was out of the league a year ago, he didn't have a job, man.
Denver defense played lights out.
He was 21 other defense coordinators got jobs before Wade Phillips. Son of bum.
Right.
Got him a ring. Well deserved.
Congratulations to the Denver Broncos. We were terribly wrong about their defense. Well, I guess we underestimated their defense.
I underestimated their defense. Overestimated Carolina's offense against that defense. If it's ever another time the number one defense is in the Super Bowl, a la Super Bowl 48 when Manny went up against a defense like his defense, the Seahawks, when they ram-rotted Denver, just like Denver just did Cam. And you see Elway built his defense to do just what they did to Cam Newton. John Elway did a tremendous job. Take my hat off to Elway. Take my hat off to Peyton. He's going to ride off into the sunset. I'm not mad at him. He did play a great game. Who cares? He won a Super Bowl. He got two of them. And he can go drink his Budweiser because he got distribution plans of Budweiser and he couldn't promote alcohol being a football player. Now that he about to quit, he can. Get paid, Peyton. Keep getting them checks.
Yeah. Keep getting your checks paid, man, because it's over for you. Because how awful were some of those passes?
You go back in history, man. When you look at the Super Bowl winners, you're going to see Peyton Manning two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, man. Can't take that away from him. He didn't lose the game.
That's true.
All the times he had 50 touchdowns. And
it's the end, though.
Led the team. They didn't win, man. So what did that get? It's a team game. Go on the sunset, Peyton. It's over.
It's over?
Bye. Your season was terrible statistically. You know, you had 17, 18 picks with the one in the Super Bowl. Nine touchdowns. But you were going out on top with a ring. Who cares?
Let me ask you this. What was one of your most memorable plays that you can remember in that game?
It's three plays.
Three plays. You got three.
I got three plays.
Go ahead. Shoot them out.
First one is the non-catch that didn't get overturned in the first quarter before the sack fumble on Cam.
Mm-hmm. That was huge.
It could have been easy, just 3-0, and they punt when he gets sacked instead of sack fumble in the end zone.
Right.
You know, so that would change the game right there. And then you remember the play when he caught Kotry going down near the goal line, and he had the ball. He was checked by Von Miller, and he dropped it.
He was at the top of the screen?
No, he was at the bottom pylon.
Bottom pylon. Oh, yeah, corner. Sure do. Yeah, I remember that.
First and goal at the two. Yeah. Cam would have dove in. Okay.
I remember that.
And then the third one is they're driving, and Tolbert fumbles. He's mowing. He's down. He's round. He's
that
down
was
low.
Huge.
He get low, and he coughed the ball up. They was about to be in the red zone. So those threes play right there sealed the deal, sealed their fate pretty much. It wasn't just that fumble, Cam.
I thought one major play, one that stuck out the most in my head was the punt return where the referees actually botched the call. It should have been kick catch interference, but they let it go, and the guy ran all the way down inside the 15-yard line.
They called the catch interference. They still don't. The play still stands, though. They shouldn't have stopped. They stopped playing. He never signaled fair catch. What were they thinking?
I don't know what they were thinking.
Another play the referees I thought about, too, I mean to cut you off, is on the missed field goal. Tlaib was offsides.
Oh, yep. He sure was. They missed that. It. Nope. They didn't even call that.
Yards, it's a first down.
Yeah. It was a couple calls that, you know, I felt went into Denver's way.
Couple plays, couple calls, man. They got the short end. I think it was in the cards for Peyton to win.
Well, it seemed like it. It really did. Because Peyton Manning didn't have a good
game. But Von Miller is incredible. He's a modern day, my new Derek Thomas. Same number. I love, rest in peace, DT. Great Kansas City Chief linebacker. Once got 8 sacks in one game.
Yeah, Von Miller played outstanding. Look, check out some of these stats. Carolina, 4 fumbles, 3 of them lost, 12 penalties, 102-yard penalties.
Sloppy.
102 yards. That's a lot. Look at Denver. 6 penalties. They only had 51 yards. They had 3 fumbles, but they only lost one.
But look at Denver's total offense. How many rush yards did they have?
It had to be like 51.
And he and Manning had 77. They had 77 second half pass yards.
Yeah, it was terrible. That game offensively was challenged.
It don't have to be pretty. They world champs.
I mean, they won
Broncos.
Off their defense. That was their bread and butter. So I can't knock them for using their bread and butter.
They're one of the best I've ever seen. They're in my top 3 to 4.
Something else that just came up. The halftime show. I guess people are giving Beyonce a lot of criticism about having her dancers dress up as Black Panthers. And I guess she's celebrating her Black Lives Matter movement. So I guess she had all her dancers dressed up as Black Panthers. And I guess now a lot of people are on social media giving her crap, calling
way to go,
racist.
Beyonce. It's Black History Month. Stand up. Stand up. It's Black History Month. Black power. She ain't offend nobody but standing up for what she believe in. She ain't talking about nobody. She's talking about what she believe in. Go for it. Freedom of speech.
I haven't heard her side of the story yet either.
I don't think it's done what's the side. It's nothing to tell. She didn't do anything wrong. People need to just get out their feelings, man. Everybody's so sensitive now. Everything is, everything got to be politically correct, man. Go back to the 70s when Archie Bunker and George Jefferson didn't like each other, man. They can call each other honky and nigga on TV, and it was funny. It was comedy, man. Everybody uptight now. Everybody got to be politically correct. You can't whip your kids no more, man. What happened to that, R-Dot? I got a whooping, man. I got whooped, and it made me the man I am today.
I got whoopings also, and people are talking about, I know this is not true. People are actually talking about boycotting the Super Bowl. Now, you know that's a lie. No one's going to boycott the
Super
Bowl.
People are looking for attention, man. Everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, social media is blowing up with this crap.
Social media is making a lot of people famous.
They're saying things like the NFL, you failed us. You believe the NFL failed with that halftime show? I thought the halftime show was great. It had Bruno Mars. I thought Coldplay was a little lame, but I'm not a big Coldplay
fan.
They
spiced it up with Bruno Mars and Beyonce. They had me. I thought it jumped the shark with Coldplay, but they did a good job.
Bruno Mars did his thing. He did the MC Hammer tribute. He was dancing. He did the Electric Typewriter. I liked Hammer.
I didn't make nothing out of Beyonce's thing. I just read about it like, wow, really? Okay.
I had a You Can't Touch This t-shirt. Shout out to Hammer.
So did I. Go Hammer, go Hammer. I was just in the Bay for the festivities out that way.
How you feel about the second half? Did you ever feel like Carolina was going to get back and win this game?
I thought Carolina was going to win it when Cam fumbled that ball on 3rd and 9.
What about Cam when he didn't jump on the ball? How you feel about that? If that's your teammate, how you feel? And you see that in the film, how do you feel?
You can't question his toughness. Because look how he sacrificed his body all year, diving over the top, you know, running over players, you know what I mean? So, you know, I take him for what he say, man. His leg was funny. Could have been like a career-ending injury with his hip, man, the way it was contorted. What happened to Bo Jackson? Who wants that to happen? I understand it's a Super Bowl. Leave it all on the field. You got all winter to heal and so on and so forth. So I can't be mad at Cam because I know he put it all on the line all year long, man. And it didn't, you know, that one play, like I said, it didn't cost him the game. So I wouldn't be mad at him if I was a teammate because I know the person Cam is and he gives all every day. There early, stay late, man. So
I agree.
Keep your head up, Cam. Keep your head up, Cam. Keep your head up, brother.
Another thing, man, when you play sports, man, you kind of know the MO of all your teammates, especially if you played on the team with them for a while. You kind of know the guys, like in basketball, you kind of know the guys that's going to dive on the floor or the guy that's going to take the charge or the guy that's going to actually move out the way and not take the charge. You're going to know those guys. So when you see things like that on film, you're not going to be surprised. You probably just laugh and joke about it. I mean, I know they're not doing that now, but in the aftermath, you'll probably end up just laughing and making fun of the person about it. But anyways, I think Cam is tough. He's been proving it to us all year long. He runs in between the tackles, in the trenches. You got to be the toughest dude to do that. So what'd he say? He couldn't get it, or he was going to get it. It was going to be an awkward fall or something, an injury, right? I believe the guy. If he say he couldn't get it, he couldn't get it without injuring himself. I believe him. I'm not going to question Cam's toughness.
Had they recovered a fumble and punt the ball, they might have got it back and he had another chance.
That's true.
It's unfortunate, man. It ended like that. He had a great season. It's very, very unfortunate for it to end on such a sour note because Cam, people are trying to remember Cam for that one play and disregard the body of work he did all year, and you can't do that.
It probably wouldn't have mattered anyway because they weren't able to move the ball. So I don't even think it would have mattered. Denver's defense was playing
Denver defense stout. Play all time, you know, lights out.
Man, I seen a stat today. They touched Tom Brady 23 times.
Incredible.
I don't think Tom Brady ever got touched 23 times in a season.
Cam, 21.
That defense. So you guys heard about it all week long. We haven't been able to talk about it. But how do you feel about the post-game interview in itself? How do you feel about just having post-game interviews? How you feel about that?
I think they should wait a little longer to interview the players. Give them like a 30-minute cooling off here. At least let them shower and change. Cam stayed on his football pads with a hoodie on. And then I think the setup was terrible. And I heard the audio. Chris Harris was talking right in the room, just separated by a curtain from Cam. So as these people are asking Cam these questions, Chris Harris is on the other side, just on the other side of Cam, talking about how they had, we wanted to force him to beat him, and don't let him run, and he was feeling some kind of way.
Man, I think that whole setup is terrible. I agree with you, Fresh. You gotta give somebody some cool down time, especially if they win, or excuse me. If they're losing, you got to give them cool down
time. Do the winning team first.
Yeah, do the winning team first.
Get the losers time to cool off. Then get the losers.
I even think you got to give the winning team some time to cool off.
Let them celebrate, too, yeah.
Because they'll get crazy with it, too. So Cam Newton, in your opinion, what you think the reason why he walked off? Was it because of what he was hearing in the background, or was it because
exactly
of
what he was hearing
questions?
In the background, and it was the same questions. It was repetitive questions over and over again, and he shouldn't have walked off.
I like what he said.
But would you want to hear 10 minutes of Cam saying, no, we lost, they play better than us? You want him to do that? He did his 3 minutes, he did what he was supposed to do, and he was done. His minimum was 3 minutes. You want him to do 10 minutes of that? He wasn't giving you a lot of answers. He was more forthcoming yesterday when they got him, when they were cleaning out their lockers. You got better answers. Not that it made sense, some of the stuff he said. He never apologized for walking off, which he shouldn't have. He never said, I'm a grow from this and learn and none of that. But, you know, it is what it is, man. He's a human being, and he make mistakes. And when he look back, he get older, he's going to change. He won't be the same person today that he will be 5 years from now.
I agree. And I don't even think that assassinated his character or ruined him at all. I mean, it's Cam Newton, man. I mean, I kind of expect him to do stuff like he did, and then come back after he thought about it and say some things to, you know, kind of gloss over what he did to kind of make you. I think he just justified why what he did was okay. And I kind of accept it, because when he said, what guy is cool with losing? And if that guy's cool, I'll show you a loser. Something in that state, I'm paraphrasing. But when he said that, I agreed with him. I was like, man, he right. Who likes losing and talking about it? So get off of Cam, man. Cam is Cam.
You're making too much out of it. I don't think it's such a big deal. They lost. Him storming off ain't going to change nothing. You know, it is what it is. Hopefully Cam get another chance where he can be on the other side, because I know watching another team celebrate, it can be disheartening. Hopefully he get back. It's not easy, though, so that's going to make him work that much harder and make him that much better next year. Look out, NFL.
Everyone should get better, so definitely not easy. Man, speaking of, did you bet on the game?
I'm not much of a gambler, no. So if I would have bet, I would have bet on the Carolina Panthers. I would have lost my money, and I would have took the over, so I would have lost my money twice.
Well, Las Vegas set a record with Super Bowl wagers over the weekend, man. It was incredible. It was $132.54 million.
Oh, wow.
On Super Bowl waging.
Wow. I know a lot of people had all different kind of prop bets and stuff like that. It was pretty interesting. I was out of town, so you can't really do that kind of stuff. It's easy to I didn't put the bet in before I left. Normally I do a Super Bowl day of Super Bowl, put a couple prop bets in, but I was out at the Super Bowl. I didn't go to the game, but I was out there, so I didn't bet.
Right.
But I would have lost my money.
Yep. According to Nevada Gaming Control, the previous record was $119 million, and it was set in 2014, and they got up to $132.5 million.
What'd they do this year?
132.5.
Awesome. Wow. And Vegas.
And you know what? Vegas had, I think everybody was on Carolina. So just think about how much money the books made this weekend. It was only a small percentage on Denver.
Oh, absolutely.
Vegas pretty much cleaned up, said, hello, this is why we're Vegas. Y'all can't beat us.
Suckers.
Man, some exciting games happened over that weekend. Not to mention Super Bowl 50, but how about the OKC Thunder versus the Golden State Warriors?
OKC was my only hope that any team could beat Golden State 4 out of 7 in a 2-week period. I don't see it happening. They was up by 20 at one point. They just took their foot off the gas. OKC made it interesting. But I don't think OKC is one of the few teams and Cleveland that can beat those boys in the 7-game series. San Antonio, I think, has no chance because they spread them out too thin, and them big boys can't recover on those pick and rolls and get back to them shooters like that. Duncan, West, and Aldridge going to have problems.
I agree. I think OKC at least has the athletes to hang and play both sides of
exactly.
the floor.
That's why I said OKC and then LeBron and them boys.
And LeBron and them, yeah. LeBron and Cleveland. They're starting to learn how to play against them.
JR makes some timely shots, come out, and they got Mo Williams that he's going to be clutching the playoffs. They got a shot. They can't get up an up-and-down game with Golden State, but I think by letting LeBron bring the ball up at point guard, he can dictate the tempo and keep it at their pace.
Golden State on Saturday played OKC. Golden State 116, OKC 108. That was an 8-point victory. But the game, like you said, it was a 16 points, I think, at the half. Golden State was up. KD
was up by 20 at some point in the fourth.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. KD ended up with 40 points.
He missed some shots late, but he hit some shots, you know, made it interesting. But at the end of the day.
What you think Golden State's final record is going to be?
I think they're going to go 73-9.
73-9. So you got them winning the NBA championship? Easy.
I got them breaking the 72 win record by the Bulls.
Yeah. I mean, and I have them
I have them repeating as champions in 6 against the Cavs. Tough fought series though. If Cavs can come in and steal games 1 or 2 in Cleveland, it can be a whole different ball game.
You don't think OKC can get them?
I don't think they will. They'll win a game or two, but I don't think they can beat them 4 games in 2 weeks. I don't.
Do you think OKC can beat the Spurs?
Yes. A healthy Durant and Westbrook get a Spurs all kind of problem.
And Westbrook is enough to beat this year's Spurs. Mm-hmm. Smart enough and everything.
Yes.
How many games?
Win the series. 7 in San Antonio.
So how do OKC beat the Warriors? How do they beat them?
They don't. But the only team got a chance.
I mean, what can Billy Donovan do to beat the Warriors? What does
play
he need
some
to
defense, do? Get some stops?
I mean, does he need to change his scheme, or is it the players?
It's the Warriors. Boys got to play some deep, man. They got to play. Got to be on the string. They got to play as a unit. They got to be more unselfish with the ball.
Two guys can't beat OKC or can't
beat
Warriors.
4 out of 7, I don't see nobody beating the Warriors 4 out of 7 in a 2 week period. I'm sorry.
So it's going to be Warriors all day.
Warriors all day. I hope that people make it interesting, though.
You know how many points Deion Waiters had in that Golden State OKC game?
I know he didn't get double digits, did he?
He had 4 points.
Wow.
Poor Deion Waiters.
He's on the milk carton. Deion Waiters, where are you at? Where are you, sir?
OKC, they had 15 turnovers, right? But here's the funny thing. Golden State shot 7 for 26 on 3-point.
And you don't beat Golden State when Klay and Steph is broke like that. You don't win that game. You have no shot. How many times you think they both going to be off like that in the 7-game series?
They went 2 for 15 on 3-point shots.
And you don't beat that. You don't win that game. If you OKC, you're not going to win 4 out of 7.
The more and more I take a look at these stats, the more and more I see OKC let this game get away from them. This was a winnable game for OKC. That's why I think when Golden State goes to OKC, they have to go there, I think, one more time. I think OKC going to get them.
They play 3 more times. Twice in OKC.
Is it twice in OKC?
They play the Spurs 3 more times. Twice in San Antonio.
And I think those games are coming up soon.
They're down the stretch. They're March games.
I'm gonna go out on a limb right now and say OKC win one at home against Golden State. I'm gonna say they will. Also in the news, DeMarcus Cousins and George Karl in the Kings organization. Kings originally tweeted out to everyone that they were gonna get rid of George Karl later on in the week. Not 24 hours later, they rescind that tweet and say, hey, we're going to go with George Karl. So does this mean DeMarcus Cousins is out?
It just means they're going to let George Karl finish the season out. You got DeMarcus Cousins, who's an all-star, having a great year. You got Rondo leading the league in assists. They're not going to be a playoff team, but let them just keep playing. Let the season play out and get a new coach at the end of the year. If you switch coaches now, what difference is it going to make?
I agree.
Let George finish the season out, start fresh. Let the new coach come in with the draft and free agency and start anew. I don't think George Karl should have been coaching in the first place, man. I think his time has come to pass. He's been sick, man. It's good to see George up and healthy. I like him better on ESPN, man. He knew what he was talking about. Very knowledgeable. I learned a lot listening to George.
Here's the problem I have with the Kings. They're in a bad spot because they have a great player in DeMarcus Cousins, but in my heart, I believe if they trade DeMarcus Cousins, they can get better. I think this is the wrong situation for DeMarcus Cousins. I think he needs to be in a better situation. I say that because every great player needs some sort of structure from a coach. That's what makes them jump over the hump. Just look back. Detroit Pistons back in the 80s, the Bad Boys. They had Chuck Daly. That's what got him over the hump. Isaiah was great, but Chuck Daly got him over the hump. Michael Jordan, he had Doug Collins and some other coaches. But once he got Phil, they won 6 titles. Even Kobe Bryant and Shaq, as great as they are. Shaq, when he was in Orlando, he had Brian Hill. Then when he got to the Lakers, he had, I forgot who it was. Maybe Rick Alderman or somebody, I don't know. It was somebody weird. But when he got Phil, him and Kobe excelled in their championship years. You know, same with LeBron. When he teamed up with Pat Riley, that's when he started winning championships. Man, you got to have a great coach to back up the great player. And right now, I'm just not sure if George Karl has the energy to be that great coach for DeMarcus Cousins. Because if you think about it, DeMarcus Cousins needs some structure. What player doesn't need structure when they're making millions of dollars and everyone's slalking over them? Or sulking over them, sorry.
You think a different coach won't make a difference with DeMarcus Cousins. You just want to get rid of a talent like that. He's the best center in the league. Trade away a talent like that? Are you sure? That's a cornerstone.
I don't think he's going to progress in the Kings organization since the Kings organization is so messed up. So he would be
the coach. That makes all the difference in the world.
It's starting from the top. It's the owner. The owner.
I agree.
Is messed up.
But if the owner changed the coach and let a coach come in, let people that know basketball do their job, man, and stay out of it. But DeMarcus Cousins is not the problem in Sacramento.
No, it's not DeMarcus Cousins. It's the owner. He's flip-flop. Management is flip-flopping between DeMarcus Cousins and George Karl right now. That's what they're doing. George Karl feels like he doesn't have any authority to go at DeMarcus Cousins right now because he doesn't have any backup from the management. George Karl feels like if he goes at DeMarcus Cousins, his job is in jeopardy. And on the flip side of that, DeMarcus Cousins sees that, hey, these guys was just about to fire this guy. I got control of this team. I could do whatever I want. Bad situation. This whole Kings franchise just probably needs to get disbanded and come back with a whole new team. The only person they need to keep is Omri Caspi because he the only baller they got. Everyone else.
You don't like Willie Cauley-Stein?
The story, you know, the story on him is still out.
Willie Cauley-Stein.
He's a rookie. I mean, he comes in and he plays his game. He playing well next to DeMarcus Cousins. But I'm telling you, man, if they made a trade and got 4 or 5 good players, you will see the Kings make a huge leap, man. Because you could tell on the court, DeMarcus Cousins, he does whatever he wants. George Karl can't coach him. He does not have the backup of Vlade Divac. He cannot coach DeMarcus Cousins. So I don't know what the Kings going
to
do.
Yeah, they got to trade him if that's the case.
That's what I'm saying. And I think they kept George Karl. So that might mean DeMarcus Cousins' days are numbered.
George
They're listening.
Karl just going to be there for the rest of the season.
Yeah, man. And you know how I feel about George Karl.
If they make a trade, George Karl going to keep his job. No trade, George gone. Yeah. That simple.
That's what it is. But you know how I feel about George Karl. He's 60-some years old, battling. He battled cancer, came back, you know, blessed.
Get back in the booth, George. It's all good.
But man, it takes a lot of energy to coach these young boys nowadays, especially nowadays, because you got a whole new element called social media. That's a whole new realm. I know George Karl ain't ready for that, because I ain't even ready for that. And I'm like 30 years younger than George Karl.
Yeah, it's a whole new day and age, that social media, man. I do it a little bit. I got to get more involved in it, but it's the new thing, man. It's how people communicate now. There's no more phone calls. It's all text messages, social media, Snapchatting, and all that stuff, man.
But look at the Kings, man. The Kings' last win was February 1st. That was, 9 days ago against Milwaukee, 111-104. Man, they lost 4 or 5 games in a row, and they've been getting smacked. I'm talking about 20 points. Teams are shooting between 47 and 52% from the field on them. Is that defense or what? What is that? Rudy Gay, where you at?
Step up.
Man, is that bad or what?
That's real bad. They keep getting them checks, though.
If you're Vlade Divac, what do? You get rid of Cousins or you get rid of Karl?
George, I think you need to be out of here, man. Go and enjoy them couple millions left on your contract, man. Enjoy your retirement, man, with your family, your grandkids, man. We're going to move on.
That's what you're saying to him? Who you going to pick up? Who your next coach? You can't make the same mistake. Who your next coach going to be? Mark Jackson?
Thibodeau.
Ooh, that's a name. He'll get that defense straight.
Thibodeau.
That's who they need. That's a good one.
Tibbs.
Good call, Coach Tibbs. Good call.
Holla if you hear me.
Who you think is a trade away from making the next step?
Boston. Al Horford for David Lee and them 2 first-round picks, not the Brooklyn pick, where they got 2 other first-round picks. Let's do it. Only if they can get it in principle that Horford will re-sign, I would make that deal in a heartbeat. Let David Lee go to Atlanta along with them 2 first-round draft picks. And come on, Al, to Beantown. He's going to want to play over there, and boys going to want to play with him.
You think Al Horford can get them over the hump?
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be a good move.
They can make it interesting.
It does make it interesting. Boston got a lot of assets too. They got
one, three first two, round
three,
picks.
Three yeah. first rounds. Mm. They got 3 second rounds too. That's a good move. You think Boston will make a trade before the deadline? Which team you think gonna make a trade before the deadline?
I think another team might stand pat. It's gonna be a lot of money this summer, man.
You don't think Clippers gonna make a trade?
Why? Well, they gonna just have to fit in when he come back.
You don't think it's gonna be Blake Griffin for Carmelo Anthony straight up?
Me personally, I wouldn't do that deal. If I was the Clippers, I would not do that deal. Knicks, I would do it in a heartbeat.
You wouldn't do it if you were the Clippers? You wouldn't want Melo?
Clippers?
With the Clippers, with Chris Paul?
No.
He loved playing with Chris Paul. That's his man.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine.
You don't think it'll work?
I'm New York. Melo
will get them Clippers, buckets.
Clippers, I'm making that trade. But the Knicks, I'm not making that trade. That's
so
what I'm saying.
If you're the Knicks, you're not making the trade. You don't want Blake Griffin. So you don't think Blake Griffin will be a perfect triangle player?
You're not Broadway.
I think he's theatrics all day.
I think they
That's all he
I
is.
Think he can't handle the media out there in New York, man.
All he is 2016 Dominique Wilkins.
They're vicious in New York, man. I don't think the light skin, excuse my language because you light skin too, but I don't think he can take it.
All he is 2016 Dominique Wilkins, human highlight film. He can't play in New York. They would love Blake Griffin.
I don't think he can take the headlines. I don't think he can take the media in New York, man. I think it might be too bright. The lights might be a little too bright in the Big Apple for the Oklahoma boy.
You don't think he getting out in L.A.? The market just as big.
L.A. is a transplant city with people from everywhere, man. You know, so New York, the media is totally
different
than New York. So totally different beast.
So you don't.
Ask Geno Smith.
So you wouldn't do Blake Griffin. If you're the Knicks, you wouldn't want Blake Griffin. But I would rather have Blake Griffin if I'm the Knicks than Carmelo right now at this point, especially since I got Kristaps.
I apologize. I changed my mind. If I'm the Clippers, I'm not making that trade.
Why? You don't want Melo?
Melo might do good
get them,
with Paul, man.
He
they,
will,
like,
man.
They're on a banana boat together, so they might work.
He will, man. He will get them buckets, what they need.
That might work, man.
You wouldn't do it?
That might work.
Okay. What else would you do? Would you do DeMarcus Cousins for David Lee, Amir Johnson, and what's the kid named? Crowder?
For who?
Or, I'm sorry, would you do DeMarcus Cousins for Evan Turner, David Lee, and Amir Johnson in a first-round draft pick?
Say that again, sir.
DeMarcus Cousins for Amir Johnson, Evan Turner, David Lee, in a first-round draft pick. Would you do it if you're the Kings? I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yes. Boston. No.
What?
You giving up the farm for him? No.
Brad Stevens can do it.
That's too much.
I think Brad Stevens can do it. But Brad Stevens might not want DeMarcus Cousins. But he would probably want Al Horford.
Yeah, that's giving up too much to get. That's too many pieces you got to give up to get him.
But those pieces they don't use. They don't even use David Lee.
Yeah, David Lee for sure. Who else you said you include?
Amir Johnson and Evan Turner. Him. They don't use Evan Turner either. Kings would use him.
Well.
You wouldn't do it? And you get the first round pick, and you could pick up somebody like Buddy Hield. Because you know that pick is from Brooklyn, and they only won like 5 games.
They're not giving that pick up.
It's not protected.
They're not going to trade that pick.
You saying they're not going to trade. They still got one from Minnesota, too.
Yeah, they'll trade that.
That could
They'll have more ping pong balls.
How many wins Minnesota got?
Brooklyn will have more ping pong balls.
Minnesota only got 11 wins. How many
Minnesota
they got? I don't know how many they
Minnesota
got.
Minnesota is playing. Way, got about 7 more, at least almost 10 more wins.
I'm over here saying they got 11 wins.
Than Brooklyn. That's terrible.
That's terrible. I'm just saying, though. I don't know. You wouldn't do it?
No.
If you were the Kings, you wouldn't do it.
If I was the Celtics, I wouldn't do it.
If you were the Celtics, you wouldn't do it. So who would you take out? You would take out the draft pick? You can't have 3 first-round draft picks.
I'm giving you David Lee And two first round picks, and I'll throw in somebody.
Somebody bummy.
I throw a body in. I have to look at the roster.
I guess you're right. I mean, I would do it if I was either team, because, I mean, if I got players that I'm not going to use, I might as well get rid of them. But I don't think Brad Stevens would want DeMarcus Cousins. That's the problem. So Jimmy Butler is out 3 to 4 weeks. How does that affect the Bulls? I know Derrick Rose had missed some games, but
Derrick Rose, I think he's back tonight. But the Bulls are done without they'll be out of the race by the time Jimmy Butler get back. I don't think they'll be able to stay afloat. I think they're on that little rodeo trip or that little circus tour trip, whatever it be, when they go on that little long tour during All-Star break. I think the Spurs be on theirs too, and I think it's gonna fall apart for the Bulls while Butler is out.
Man, why do people get so much credit nowadays for being two-way players? I mean, you. Back in the day, you always had to play defense. Now you don't have to play no D. Is that what it is?
Two-way player. Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't understand that, because I'm like, wait a minute. Back in the day, every player was, you know, supposed to play defense. Now all of a sudden you don't have to play D. You just a one-way play. I don't understand that. But anyways.
Life without Jimmy Butler started tonight. Atlanta 113. The Bulls 90.
Man, Bulls on the downslide.
In Chicago.
What's their record? Because they're on the downslide.
Let me check the stats.
They're you know, the Bulls was at one point Bulls competing with Cleveland to win the Eastern Conference championship. They're done now. I know Paul Gasol is kind of wishing he was somewhere else this year.
27-24, 10 games behind the Cavs.
Well, maybe Paul Gasol wants to go to the Knicks. They're a 6
seed right now. Playoffs started today.
That'd be crazy.
They were at the Celtics in the first round.
Speaking of the Knicks, what about your boy D. Fish?
D. Fish, my man. Enjoy that $5 million a year for 5 years. You old Phil, a cigar and a steak dinner, bro. But Derek Fisher, they lost 9 out of their last 10 games, 5 in a row. They were right at 500, looking good. Thought the Knicks had turned the corner. Phil hit the jackpot on Porzingis. He's right 1-2 with Anthony Towns for Rookie of the Year. However, I think the demise of Derek Fisher started back when training camp, when he had the altercation with Matt Barnes, man. And then they started losing, and it was just time to move on. I know it was tough for Phil because he loves D-Fish, but he had to do what he had to do, man. It's time to turn the page. Sorry, D-Fish, you was dead wrong, man. But you ain't, you know, I hate you lost your job, but you wasn't getting the job done. And you was out of pocket for messing with Matt Barnes' broad, man. Ex-wife. Soon to be ex-wife.
Man, that whole situation. I mean, I read a few things, so I don't know which parts are true or not. But I read things like Matt Barnes was Skyping one of his children. One of his children said something to the effects of, that guy Derek is here and Matt drove about 90 miles speeding down the highway to confront Derek Fisher.
I heard over exaggerated, but he did have a confrontation with Derek Fisher about the 90 miles and speeding. And I think that was a bit extreme. He was on his way to the house to get some things from the house. I was under the impression, this is what I was told from my sources. And his son called him while he was en route there anyway and told him that his friend Derek was here. You and mommy and daddy, you and mommy's friend Derek is here with mommy.
But to me, the Knicks been playing better, so I don't.
9 out of the last 10 is not playing better, R-Dot. I'm sorry.
I mean, they haven't been winning, but they've been playing better. They haven't been winning, though. Man, they used to play.
What are we playing for?
Well, I think they're just now learning the concept of the triangle. They're getting comfortable.
What's the quote from Herm? You play to win the game.
I know that.
They playing better and not winning is, I ain't going to cut it when you got playing $120 million to Carmelo Anthony in his prime.
That's true. But I really do feel like the Knicks, they learning a hard system. I mean,
I don't think the system really works in the different kind of game it is today.
You think it's outdated?
It's easier to zone now. It wasn't easy to zone when Kobe was dominating in the triangle and Mike was in the triangle. You know, you can play elbows now. You know what I mean? You can take it's not as easy to maneuver in that triangle like you used to.
Yeah.
Do you think, I got a question. Do you think Phil is going to stay in the triangle tree, or you going to think he can go outside his chief triangle tree and bring in a Mark Jackson or the hot coach Thibodeau, or, you know.
Well, they even saying Luke Walton.
You know, he's a Phil disciple. He played for Phil, so. But I think.
I think he's going to bring in Luke Walton.
Luke, I would not take that job.
If you were Luke, I think he's going to bring in Luke Walton.
I would be like Steve Kerr, and I would not take that job. I would wait for a better job to open, and I would go take the Laker job.
The Laker job would be very interesting for Luke Walton, but I think Luke is going to take this New York Knicks job.
Why would you?
I don't know. I think he's going to do it because he likes Phil. And
He's a California kid. His daddy went to UCLA. You know, went to Arizona, West Coast boy, New York. They ain't got, you know, L.A., Laker, tradition.
I think he would rather work for the Knicks organization than the Lakers organization and not be in the same conference with Golden State. That's why I think he would take the Knicks job. That's the only reason, and because his allegiance to Phil. But other than that, I don't know. I don't know if Phil Jackson's going to bring in a guy like Tom Thibodeau. I don't think that's his type of guy. Could be, but
That's why I was wondering, would he get out and go away from the triangle and go, you know, get a coach outside of the box? I'm not sure. Stay tuned.
Man, I heard like some real deep stories about Derek Fisher's firing, like things that the casual fan wouldn't know about, like things with the players union when he was the president, things stemming from that, like players who were under him while he was the president, they didn't like some of the decisions he made. So now in the locker room, it caused problems. You know, the Knicks don't have too many older players, so that comment can only be pointed towards a handful of those guys. Mm-hmm. And Carmelo probably being one of them. You know,
that wasn't that long ago either, so I'm sure it was probably with Melo.
It wasn't that long ago. I'm just speculating. I ain't going to say it was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it wouldn't surprise me if it was him. So, I don't know, man. Derek Fisher just wasn't a good fit.
You know, he was a new coach with the triangle. I think he was in a lose-lose situation. I thought they should have let Melo walk, maybe do a sign-and-trade. Draft Porzingis like they did, but add some other younger pieces and you know, blow it up. You replace Melo with three pieces, maybe, man. But Melo, you would be right in the playoff hunt right now.
Didn't Jeff Hornacek get fired last week, too?
Yes, he did. Earl Watson is the new interim coach in Phoenix.
Man, that sucks because Jeff Hornacek actually did a good job with that team, man. Both of their point guards are hurt, and they're two of their leading scorers.
They was a game out of the playoffs a couple years ago, and they got rid of the point guard, Dragic. They got rid of the other kid. They had Isaiah Thomas over there, man. They just started getting rid of everybody over there in Phoenix, man. He blew it up.
Yeah. Brandon Knight been hurt, and so has
Bledsoe's out.
So, I mean, I don't understand how you could fire a guy and his two top players are out. It just baffles me. Did you hear about what Kevin McHale had to say about the Houston Rockets situation when he got dismissed from his duties?
Yeah, I heard
earlier.
Harden was out of shape.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard couldn't practice back-to-back.
Wow.
And shit, they got off to a slow start, 4-7, and got him fired after making the Western Conference Finals. Go figure.
Man, how many coaches is Dwight Howard going to get fired? How many more?
He might be the coach killer.
The coach killer. Well, that's all we got for you today. Now, right into
what did we learn? We learned that the same people you see going up, the same people you got to see coming back down, Cam. You was dabbing. You was smiling. You was bumping your chest. You was Superman. And I don't nobody like to win, but you just got to stand there and, you know, answer the questions, man. Matt, you're not the first person to lose in the Super Bowl, bro. You're not the first MVP to lose in the Super Bowl. So the only thing I can say about Cam, whatever, I ain't got nothing to do with the fumble and none of that, didn't dive. I don't care about none of that. Next time, Cam, just moving forward, just answer the questions, man, whether you want to or not, man, and take it on the chin and, you know, keep your head up and come back, man. Work that much harder and do it again.
We also learned that Von Miller is Superman's kryptonite.
Lex Luthor.
We also learned the Warriors are unbeatable at home. You can't beat them. 23-0.
24-0.
24-0.
41 in a row.
Can't beat them at home. So
they
where
got the
can
best
you beat
record
them?
In history through game. 47-4, and they're on their way to 48-4 right now. They playing Phoenix right now, up double digits in the third.
So are we looking at what, 74-8?
I think they'll do at least 73.
73-9. Huh. What else we learned?
We learned that Pau Gasol is going to be an All-Star game replacing injured Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations to Pau Gasol.
We learned that one of the better shooters, three-point shooters in the league, didn't get invited to Toronto, and that's Jay Swish out of the Cavs. He wasn't a happy camper. He said he just don't want to get fined, so he's going to keep his mouth closed, but I think he should have got an invite.
We also learned that these halftime shows cause quite a bit of a stir to a lot of people. We also learned this might be Peyton Manning's last season. So that might have been it for us.
Congratulations to the sheriff. And go have your Budweiser. That's a Budweiser plug for me. Do I get an endorsement? We looking for sponsors, Budweiser.
Yes, we are.
I'll drink a cold Budweiser after our show, too.
And for our final big what we learned, when you do wrong to your friends, it always comes back and bites you in the ass, D-Fish.
Damn, D-Fish. Enjoy that money, though, bro. You good. You making five things. You got like three more years left at $5 million a year. And you single. You can take your girl, get y'all a new spot, go on vacation, let Matt watch his kids this summer when after the playoffs over with. And, you know, do what you do. Enjoy that bread. Get back in coaching if you like and learn the job. Be an assistant somewhere, man. I think you're going to make a great head coach.
All right. That's a great show for today. Fresh. It's been a pleasure. And we'll see you guys next time.
Till next time, Arda, I want to say thank everybody for tuning in, man. I want to thank our sponsors, man. Sports and Giggles, Made Apparel. And like my mother would always say, rest in peace. I'm going to do something the devil don't do. Leave you alone. Till next time.